the tears that had fallen. It would seem like an ocean to me. And if my heart were awake, I could look for it. Oh, the pain and scars you would see. Tears will never stay. On my mansion door, teardrops aren't welcome beyond the gates of your door. All the heart will never break into eyes with the pain. But there's a land where grief is a stranger, and the joy is the only song they'll sing. I question the love of a loved one. The grave seems so final and cold. But we'll meet again where death has no victory. In a land where we'll never grow old. Tears will never stay.
Does anybody know what we've been talking about? Well, I tell you what, I do such a wonderful job in here. Nobody can remember anything. It starts with an S. Thank you. We've been talking about salvation. Now, we've had 4 points of salvation. Now, we have a guest with us today, so we have to bring her up to speed, so you're going to have to show off just a little bit. I don't show off too much. I don't want you to try to impress her too much. But 4 points of salvation. The first one was, now they all started with a W, so okay. Worth, the worth of salvation. Now I'm going to read you in just a second something that goes with that. The worth of, listen, if your salvation is not worth anything, it's not worth having, right? But it is worth having because it's worth everything. Now, the second one was, starts with a W, second letter's A, next letter's L, next letter's K, that's all the letters. Walk. There's a walk of salvation. Look, you don't turn over a new leaf when you get saved. See, that's the problem with a lot of people. They make a profession, but they don't get a possession. And they wonder what happens when it goes away. When they can't walk the walk and talk the talk. But if you get saved, there's a transformation where the Holy Spirit of God moves in through regeneration. That's why the Bible says we are a new creature in Christ. You're not the same person that you were before you're saved. I don't care what anybody says to you. I realize that we have the same sinful flesh. I get it. But you're not that person that you were before you're saved. You're a new creature. You're a new creation. And if you look up that word new, it's the same blessed God where you see in Revelation where he says, "Behold, I make all things new. I make a new heaven and a new earth." And if you look at that word in the Greek, it means one like has never been. He's not just making the 2020 version and calling it new. It's one like no one has seen. And that, listen, there's a lot of this world's beautiful folks. I've only been to Hawaii one time, and that was on the way to Vietnam, so I didn't see the beauty. But I've seen it on TV. I mean, it's a beautiful place. And Alaska. I've never been to Alaska, but I've seen it on TV. It's a beautiful place. But it's sin-cursed. I mean, if it can be that beautiful, if it's sin-cursed, think how beautiful it'll be when there is no sin curse. And that's why we ought to walk. Remember, it says walk. I beg you, he says, walk worthy. Now, why does he say worthy? Well, what did I say? The worth of salvation? If salvation's worth something to you, it's worthy of a walk. Right? I mean, it's if it means everything to you, then you ought to want people that see you to know that you have it. I'll give you a good example. Yesterday morning I was going to play golf, and I stopped in the Waffle House, as I sometimes do on my way to the golf course. Well, I sat down in a booth, and this other couple came in, and they sat down over here, and then they didn't like it over there, so they came over behind me and sat down. And the waitress comes over and takes their order. I said, okay. So I sat there a few more minutes, and this old boy says, "I'll be right with you." So he's cleaning the counter and doing other things. So I said, okay. So I sat there a few more minutes. So then this other... Where was I? Thank you. Thank you, Dwayne. I don't remember what I was going to say. Yeah. So anyway, this other couple comes in, and they're looking around for a booth, and they can't find one. I said, "Here, take this," and I'm leaving. So I got up and left. So I drove out to McDonald's, which is just out the street there at Boone's Creek. And I thought, well, I'll just go through McDonald's and get me an oatmeal and an egg McMuffin, and that'll suffice, and a milk. And I was going through the driveway, and something just said, "Won't you just pull around front and park and, you know, eat in the parking lot?" So I pulled up side, and here sat a man in the truck with his window down. Well, that's all I needed to start up a conversation. And the second thing I said after that conversation started was, "Sir, do you know the Lord?" Never met the man. But that man needs the Lord if he don't have him. Now, he said, "Yes, sir, I do." I said, "That's all that's going to count in this world. That's all that's going to count in this world. So in a little bit, I said, do you go to church around here?
No.
I thought, oh, okay, sorry. But my point is this. If what we've got is worth something, it's worth sharing with somebody. Isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, if it's worth everything to you, would it not be worth everything to somebody else who got it? I mean, we got it from God, right? So we know if we can get them to God, they can get it from God, and they'll have the same thing we've got. So that's why we need to have the walk of salvation. And then we said there is the what? The weight of salvation. Now, I said that there's two aspects to weight, and I'll cover that a little bit more this morning. And then there was the fourth one, which is the want of salvation. Remember when I told you there's a noun and there's a verb to the word want, right? And in the Bible, it's a noun because it means to be impoverished, to be poor, to lack. In other words, and I gave you the illustration of King Belshazzar, where the writing on the wall says, thou art weighed in the balance and found lacking, impoverished, wanting. I've got to tell you, if you stand before God one day, he's going to say, you're either wanting or you're not. You're either lacking or you're not. But then the other aspect of that is to want. And we said that was a desire. Now look, you can't tell me if you're saved, if you're truly saved, and I'll get, look, yesterday, our vice president went to a Christian college now. Follow me here. Went to a Christian college to give the commencement. And some of the students got up and walked out because he was teaching on we need to stand for our Christianity that we believe in. Now look, you might expect that at a secular university, but he's supposed to be speaking to the flock. But folks, the point is, just because you go to a Christian university and say you're a Christian and you've adopted the Christian religion, that and a dollar will get you a cup of coffee at McDonald's. Oh, it won't? Can't even get a dollar coffee anymore? My goodness, what's wrong with this world?
John, I don't think they should give a single one of those students to walk out their degree.
Oh, yeah, look, give them a degree. Get rid of them as fast as you can, is what I say. But anyway, the point is this. They were wanting. They were lacking. They wouldn't have done that if they really had it. They would have enjoyed what the man was saying. But if you're lacking, you don't want to hear it. But if you do have it, you want to hear it. There's desires in a Christian, a true Christian, a child of God, a born-again, blood-bought child of God. There's wants and desires that the world will never have because they don't have what brings it. Now, today I want to talk to you about this. When the weight... I thought y'all could finish that. When the weight is... Thank you, honey. No, you don't get an A, but you did good. You did good. That's better than an A.
That's better than an A.
When the weight is over. And I told you that there is a waiting while we wait, right? Anybody remember that? And what did I mean by that? Well, look, we're waiting for the Lord to come, right? And what that means is we have a great desire for the Lord to come because for one thing, I won't see him, right? And for another thing, I'll be out of this God-forsaken, sin-cursed place. But while I'm waiting for the Lord, I'm waiting on the Lord. And I gave the example of my sister. My sister needs help from the Lord. And I've called on him. Now I'm waiting on him. Remember when I gave you that verse in Isaiah where it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up on wings of eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint, bless God. Well, that's why you're waiting on him. You're waiting while you're waiting. But one of these days, the waiting's going to be over. I won't be waiting on him here anymore because he won't be here. Because wait will be over. Now, look if you will at Peter. Peter, I know we're in Isaiah, but look at Peter. 1 Peter. And I covered this. You remember I covered this early on. Because this was part of the worth. Remember, that's where I started with the worth of salvation. This gives you the worth. This tells you what it's worth to you. Right? So here's what it says. I'm going to read it very quickly now. What? Chapter 1. Are you there? Okay, here I go. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now, why does he say strangers? Because, bless God, we're strangers here. If you're home in this world, you don't belong to God. I can tell you that right now. Without any equivocation, without any hesitation, without... You don't belong to God if you're at home here. It's just that simple. It's not complicated. So he says he's to the strength. And then he sort of moves on to tell you who the strangers are. They're the elect. Now, how many of you are of the elect this morning? Okay, well, see, there's two elects in the Bible. The Bible speaks of two elects. The first one is Israel. And so sometimes you have to read the context of the verse or the scripture to know whether he's talking about Israel, the elect, or the church, because the church is the elect just means the chosen ones. That's all it means. You've been elected. You've been chosen. So he says, to the chosen ones, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bought, paid for your salvation. That's how you got it, if you've got it. If you lack either one of those, you don't have any of those. Because you can't lack one of those because they're all the same. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is. So even though they've got three offices there and three performances of their office there, it's still just one. God's done it for you. So that's what he says. So then it comes on and says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's some of the benefits of being saved. And that ought to be worth something to you. Look, to know you got an inheritance from God that will never fade away, ought to be worth something to you. Ought to be worth something to you so much that it caused you to walk right. You know, these people say, well, now you got to walk right. I ain't got to do nothing. I want to. There's a difference between I got to and I want to. There's a difference between I ought to and I want to. My salvation means everything to me. My Lord and Savior means everything to me. And every day that I wake up, every morning that I read the Word, every morning that I pray, my words to God are these. God, help me to walk upright before you today according to your Word. Because it's everything to me. You say, well, Tom, you must be a perfect person. Yeah, I just showed you I wasn't. I got up and walked out on them at the Waffle House. But I was trying to help out. Those people couldn't find them a seat. There's a man and his wife. And I thought, well, hey, I'm just here, so I'm leaving. So anyway, who are kept. Look, you don't only have this inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled that faith not away from you. You're kept. You're not keeping yourself. You're not living on the straight and narrow and keeping yourself saved. My goodness. God wouldn't get any glory for that, would he? I mean, if you stood before God one of these days and you said, well, God, I tell you what, aren't you proud of me? I sure got you. No, that'd be his glory. He said, I'm sharing my glory with nobody. You got here because of me. You got here because I kept you the whole way. Every time you fell, I picked you up. Every time you stumbled, I picked you up. You're here. You're here because of me. And if you're not here, it's because of me. You didn't have me. Therefore, you're not here. That doesn't make sense, does it? Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Oh, there it is. Who are kept by the power of God unto faith unto salvation. But you say, Tom, I thought we had salvation. Well, if we're waiting while we wait, we can also have salvation till we get salvation. Can't we? Well, sure. That's what it says. Faith unto salvation. Faith is trust. I'm trusting you, God, until I'm saved. You say, wait, but Tom, I thought you said you're saved. I'm saved while I'm waiting to be saved. Do you know when your final salvation is going to take place? Bless God. When he returns and you've got a glorified body, you're going to be saved. Amen. But you're saved till then. He's keeping you till then. So, he says, who are kept by the power of faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. When he comes, it's going to be revealed that you're saved. And here's your new body to prove it. Now, it goes on to say, wherein you greatly rejoice, so now for a season, if need be, ye are heaviest through manifold temptation, that trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that purchased, though it be tried with fire, might be found in praise and honor and glory appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Well, boy, that's a badge there, isn't it? I mean, that'd be worth something, wouldn't it? Stand before God and say, God, I loved you. Well, you don't get credit for that either. You get no glory for that either. He says, all love is not that you love me, but I first loved you. Listen, if you love God, and I know you do if you're saved, oh, you just raise your hand and say, oh, God, thank you that I could love you. Thank you that you'd even, listen, I'm not worth a thing. But God in his grace and mercy allows me to love him. And not only to love him, but to wait on him and to wait for him. And he goes on to say, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though ye see him not, ye believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. How many have got joy unspeakable and full of glory today? Well, bless God, if you get saved, you'd have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Remember, I told you last week, you'll feel it, but you ain't seen it. Huh? That's what it says. You'll feel the joy, but you ain't seen joy. You'll feel love, but you ain't seen love. You'll feel peace, but you've not seen peace. But when you see him, you're going to see it all. You're going to see why you had joy unspeakable. You're going to see why you had love. You're going to see why you had peace, because you're looking at it. You're looking straight into love. You're looking straight into the face of peace and joy. And he says this, receiving. Now everybody knows what receiving means, don't you? Taking hold of. In other words, if I said, here, receive this. And she don't, see now she's receiving it. But if she don't stick out her hand, she can't, even though I'm saying receive, I say, receive this. And if he don't put out his hand, he can't receive it, right? But it says receiving, taking hold of the end of your faith. You know what the end of your trust in Christ will bring you? Starts with an S.
Salvation.
Thank you, brother. Receiving the end of your faith, even. Now, if you make notes in your Bible, circle that. You know what it means? Without any doubt. Without any doubt, here's what you're going to receive. The salvation of your soul. Why? Because he kept you. Because he kept you. He's done it. You're there because of him. He's done it. My goodness. Now, there's no wonder. We call that when the wait is over, right? So if you look over at Isaiah 25, let's go to Isaiah 25. Anybody want to go to Isaiah 25? Let's go there. Because we were there last week, weren't we? Say yes, because we were. Now, remember we talked about the benefactor and the beneficiary. The benefactor is the one who bestows the benefit, and the beneficiary is the one who receives the benefit, right? Well, God gives you salvation, and you receive the benefits of it. So, and you listen, if you don't like this first verse, there's something wrong. Oh! That's the way I say it. Oh! Thou art my God. Listen, the world's got dumb gods. Huh? Well, that's what the Bible says. Daniel, when he was talking to Belshazzar, he says, "Why you brought these vessels of gold and over here because you worship the gods of gold and the gods of silver and the gods of wood, gods that can't see, the gods that can't hear, gods that can't speak. You know what we call them? Dumb gods. But the world's gods are dumb." And the people that worship them are dumb. You say, Tom, that's disrespectful. No, that's the word of God. The fool. The dumb person. The ignorant person. I'm just giving you the definitions of the Hebrew word where it says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. It means the stupid person. Now listen, nobody likes to be called stupid, right? Well, when God calls you stupid, you're stupid. Stupid is as stupid does. He says, a stupid person has said in their heart. You say, wait a minute, I thought you spoke with your mouth. Oh, no. What comes out your mouth, the Bible says, started in the heart. When you don't believe in God, it's coming from down in your heart. It's coming from your very soul. You don't believe in God. You're a stupid person. But not Isaiah and not Thomas Leslie Foster, because I say the Lord is my God. Therefore will I exalt him. I will praise him, for he hath done wonderful things. Listen, if he's not done something wonderful in your life, you're not his. That's just how it is. But if you are his, he's done wonderful things in your life. Matter of fact, he's never done anything that wasn't wonderful. If something that wasn't wonderful come into your life, it didn't come from him. Bible says every good and every perfect gift cometh down the Father of life, where there is no variableness. Right? So everything that's good comes from God. If there's something got into your life that's not good, it didn't come from God. It come from that vile flesh that you're in, and you've allowed yourself to get in the flesh, therefore you didn't get good things from it. So he says, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsel of old are faithfulness and truth. Then he comes on down there and he gives these benefits. And he says that how he was the strength of the poor and he was the strength of the needy. And we talked about that. Listen, before you were saved, you was poor. Listen, you might have been worth $1 billion, but you're poor as my dad. You say Job's turkey. Because without Christ, the Bible says you're empty. You're vain. you're worthless. But when a person realizes their poverty, when a person realizes their need and comes to Christ, guess what you get? What you need. He says this, "For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in this distress, a refuge from the storm." Oh, listen, you can't, bless God, if you've lived any years at all, you've been in a storm. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, you've rode that storm on your own. But if you've known Christ, and if you know Christ, you'll never sail it alone. It may, listen, the waves may get high and that ship may dip down, but I'll tell you who will be at the helm of that ship. The captain, you like it, the captain, Hebrews says, of your salvation. Oh, glory. Listen, when you get him as your salvation, while you're waiting, you won't have to wait alone. You won't have to go it alone. You won't have to be alone. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Even to the end of the age, I'm going to be there with you. When the storms come, I'm going to guide that ship. You don't have to. Remember when they was out on the sea, bless God, and he was asleep. Huh? You say, God's asleep. Well, he was here because he's in the flesh, right? So he's asleep. Here come the storm. Oh, they panicked. They panicked. They didn't realize who was in the boat with them. You say, Tom, but they were his disciples. I understand that, but they was in the flesh. They didn't realize right then. Listen, fear gripped them, and they forgot who's in the boat with them. And so they go over, Lord, and I love the way the Gospels do it, you know. They go over there, and they're shaking on him, and they said, Lord, don't you care? We perish. Now, what's wrong with that statement? What's wrong with that statement? First of all, Lord, don't you care? Well, that's sort of an affront to God, isn't it? Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. So first of all, they got it wrong. He did care for them. He's just asleep. Lord, carest not, we... What's wrong with that? There's something wrong with that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish. They forgot God's word. You know, folks, I'll tell you what's wrong with that. Sometimes when we get in trouble, it's because we not got this word in us. And when you don't have it, you can't remember it. You know, I've prayed for one thing. I've told you this. I've prayed for one thing. Lord, when it gets to I can't remember anything, and I'm struggling. I don't care to tell you I'm struggling. But Lord, when I can't remember anything, oh, let me remember this. If I can just remember this, it won't matter if I can't remember you. Huh? It won't matter one bit, huh, if I can't remember who you are. Just let me remember this. Let me draw from the well right here. Huh? So he says, that's what he's going to do for you. I went to the wrong. My page flipped. I'm sorry. I started saying, that don't look like what I was reading. Now, remember when the wait's over? Well, here the wait's over. For he says this. And in this mountain. Now, the word mountain in the Word of God is almost entirely symbolic of a kingdom. Because if you look, he talks about the Gentile rulers, and he talks about their kingdom as a mountain. And so here, he's not talking about a literal mountain. He's talking about a kingdom. He's talking about a kingdom. Now, if you've got a kingdom, you need a king. You can't have a kingdom without a king, right? A ruler, an authority, a government. So, he says, And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. Now let me ask you this. How many of you like to eat? How many of you like a good glass of wine? Thank you, brother. Appreciate your honesty. Look, Bible says a little wine for stomach's sake. Now, if you're drinking wine to get drunk, you better take that up to the Lord. But, hey, if your stomach's bothering you, I've heard doctors say this. Hey, take you a little wine at night. Son, that'll settle that stomach down. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. No, no. But here, he's talking about the goodness of God in his kingdom. He says, we're all going to get fat on his food. And we're all going to get drunk on his wine. Now look, if I get drunk on God's wine, I don't care. I'll be glad to be drunk on God. Because the Bible says this, Be ye not drunk with the wine, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. You see how he associates the two? In other words, let your joy not come from what man makes. Let your joy come from what God gives, the Holy Spirit. And if you'll do that, listen, there ain't nothing wrong with that. I don't care what anybody says. There ain't nothing wrong with being drunk on the Holy Spirit. Nothing. Just have yourself a time. So he says, that's what's going to happen in his kingdom now. And he goes on, because if you go back over to chapter 11, everybody knows about chapter 11 in Isaiah. It talks about what's going to happen as far as even the animals. I mean, the bear's going to lay down with the lamb, and the lion's going to eat straw, and the kid's going to put their hand over the snake's den and won't have to fear nothing. He says, nothing shall hurt in all my holy mountain. So I know he's not talking about a mountain. He's talking about his kingdom. He says, listen, when you get to my kingdom, nothing's going to hurt you. Nothing can hurt you. Because there'll be peace. You won't be feeling it anymore, honey. You'll be seeing it. You'll not only see it's the actions of peace. You'll see the person of peace. The Prince of Peace. That's who the King is. He's the Prince of Peace. And so our peace then will not be a feeling that we have now. And hey, I like the feeling of peace, don't you? There's times in my life when I just need some peace, and it's there. He says, my peace and I give unto you, my peace I leave with you, bless God. Well, I've got it. But it's an emotion now. It's a feeling. But won't it be good to see it? I've never seen what peace looks like. Right? Be good to see it, won't it? Well, that's what you're going to see in his kingdom. And he says, and he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. Now what is that talking about? What's not going to be in his kingdom? Oh, thank you. Listen, that's a veil that covers everything. But you know what? The Bible says, first of all, during the millennial reign, he's going to rule with a rod of iron. So if somebody sins, wham, take care of that. Right now, look, you can sin, and the grace of God don't maybe not punish you. Right? You might get away with it for now. You ain't going to get away with it forever, but you might get away with it. But in that time, he says he's going to rule with a rod of iron. He's going to take care of it right then and now. There's not going to be any sin problem. But what else is not going to be there? Well, he comes on to tell you. He will swallow up death in victory. So what's missing in his kingdom? Death. No wreaths of death on my mansion door. Listen, it's not only true in the millennial reign, bless God, it's true in the eternal reign. You'll never know what death's like anymore. I'll never be worried sick about my sister passing away from cancer. I'll never know what that's like anymore, to be consumed by it and worry every day that she's not going to make it. Because it won't be there. The curse will be gone. Sin will be gone. Death will be gone. Well, if sin and the curse and death are gone, guess what else will be gone? Well, he tells you. He will swallow up death and victory, and the Lord God will wipe away a few of your tears. That's what it says. I mean, all. You got it right. All, A-double-L-L. You know how many is missing from that? None. Not one drop down your cheek will ever hit again. It's his kingdom. You know how you get in his kingdom? Through him. Listen, if he don't call you into his kingdom, you ain't going. These people think everybody goes to heaven. They're going to find out. No, you just don't show up. It don't work that way. Remember, you got an inheritance that is starts with an R, next letter's E, next letter's S, next letter's E, next letter's R, next letter's V, reserved. Listen, if you don't have your reservations, you're not going. You're not going to just show up without a reservation. You don't have a seat at the table without the reservation. And God gives a reservation. And if you don't have it, you don't go. But guess what? There's still time. You can still get it. He's still gracious. He's still merciful. He's still loving. He's still ready to write down your reservation, bless God. But if you just stall and wait and wait and put it off and put it off and procrastinate and do without him, you won't go. You'll never see that kingdom. And then he says this. He shall take away from all the earth. The Lord hath spoken it. Take away what? Well, the rebuke of his people. The word rebuke there is an unusual word in the Hebrew, but it's also in the Greek, and it means unseemingly or shameful or shame. He says, if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. But if you're not ashamed of me, I won't be ashamed of you. Well, in his kingdom, I can guarantee you, you will not be ashamed of the king. He'll meet all your needs.
Yeah.
Take care of you. Oh, my goodness gracious. I told somebody, I said, listen, I tell every young person that's going to get married, and that boy will tell you right back there, I told Brennan that. Listen, if you're going to get married, if you treat your wife like a queen, you'll never have any trouble. If you treat your wife like a queen, and wives, if you treat your husband like a king, you'll never have any trouble. Because the queen means more than the king does to the king. And the king means more to the queen than the queen does. That's what the Bible says. If your spouse means more to you than you mean to you, you'll never have any trouble. Well, guess what? The king cares more about you than he does himself. That's what he said. That's why he died for you. That's why he died for you. He loved you that much. So he goes on, he says this, for in this mountain or in this kingdom shall the hand of the Lord rest. What that means is he's got total authority. Don't you like that? No more Congress. Bless God, no more trying to get so many votes to pass something. God just says, this is how it is. Hey, hallelujah. Don't you like it? Well, I see some of you don't, but that's all right. And Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as the straw is trodden down under the dunghill. What that's talking about is he's going to do with his enemies. Hey, if you're the enemy of God, bless God, you better run for cover. Oh, they do, don't they? They call for the mountains and the hills to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sits upon the throne. But bless God, guess what? When they call for the mountain to fall on him, he's under the mountain. When they call for the rocks to fall on him, he's under the rock. You can't hide from him. But if you know him, you're not wanting to hide from him. You can't wait to see him. So then he goes on and says this. I loved it. I called my brothers this week. You know, I give them these message titles. I've never heard a message, but I'm going to give it to Larry. Bless God, he'll preach it. The best, I don't know, I can't remember. The best breaststroke you'll ever see. The best breaststroke you'll ever, listen, how many of you remember that guy, I can't remember his name, won all them Olympic medals? Huh? Well, he was one of them, but just recently, huh? Phelps, Michael Phelps. Boy, could he swim, couldn't he? I mean, he could this way, he could this way, but he could this way too. That breaststroke. And the Bible says that God's going to take his big hands and his enemies, and he's just going to do this. you think I'm making this up? I can see on the look of your face, you think I'm making it up. I'm going to read to you, and then I'm cut. I'm going to quit. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of him, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. Listen, he's going to just wipe them away. And he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. These people that are too proud to acknowledge they need a Savior. One of these days, gone. Just like that. Even quicker than that. Just gone. Not gone forever. Gone to hell forever. I mean, it'd be one thing. It'd be enough just to be out of the presence of God. That'd be bad. If you never were in the presence of God, if you never could feel love, if you could never feel grace, if you could never feel mercy, if you could never feel forgiveness, if you could never feel compassion, that'd be bad enough.
Yeah.
But to throw on top of that hell. But today it's just a go to hell. Not realizing what they're saying. I wouldn't say that to anybody. I want to say, no, don't go to hell. Don't go. You don't have to. There's grace. There's mercy. You can be in the kingdom when the waiting's over. And the waiting will be over. Don't get discouraged. Don't get down. The waiting will be over. And we'll go home. And there's my aunt and cousins and all that. And so, good day, and keep your cards and letters coming. I'll try to stay on the air.
See you next time.